Good morning, Honey Ridge family, and to all those who are joining us this morning. Psalm 145 is one of the most vibrant and expressive hymns of praise to be found anywhere in the Old Testament. Not only does it provide a marvelous declaration of the majesty and incomparable greatness of God, it also instructs us on our responsibility to worship God as He deserves. David has blessed God many a time, but this he regarded as his crown jewel of praise. Here is a man who is speaking as one who has experience, someone who has seen God's hand guide him his entire life. We won't read through the psalm at the beginning of this devotional, but I would rather like to read through the psalm with you at the end. The reason for this is that I would like to summarize what it says first. Firstly, about the character of God, and secondly, our privilege and joy in celebrating him. And then for us to read the psalm as a declaration of praise to him together. So let's begin. Firstly, David begins with God's greatness. We find this in verse 3 and 6. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Greatness is a word that is horribly overused in our day, and apply to anything from deodorant to the most obnoxious professional athlete. Historically, many have taken the adjective great and made it part of their name, like Alexander the Great, Peter the Great, and Catherine the Great. But God alone is great. Furthermore, his greatness is unsearchable. No one has ever or ever will fully fathom the depth of his greatness. Not all the minds of all the ages using the most advanced scientific equipment can capture all that God is. He's utterly beyond and infinitely past finding out. Secondly, David also points to his majesty. We see this in verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on all your glorious works. You see, God's majesty is blinding and breathtaking and beyond comprehension or calculation. Thirdly, God is good. We see this in verse 7 and 9. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness. The Lord is good to all. Now, can you envision how horrific it would be if this great and powerful and awesome God were bad? Don't take his goodness for granted, but joyfully celebrate it and declare it aloud and rest confidently in it. Fourthly, our God is also righteous. Verse 7. And shall sing of your righteousness. To say that God is righteous is not to say that he conforms to human standards of right and wrong. Rather, he conforms perfectly to the standards of his own perfections. But if he is holy and righteous, how can unholy and unrighteous people like you and me enter his presence? Well, that is because God is love, and we see that in verse 8. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Yes, God has a holy temper, but he has a very long fuse. Even those who deny and blaspheme his name are recipients of his patience and long-suffering. He permits his enemies to live, to spew forth their horrid sacrilege, all the while blessing them with food and air and earthly pleasures, affording them even more time and opportunity to repent. We see this highlighted in Romans 2 verse 4 to 5, where Paul says, Or do you despise the richness of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent hearts, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You see, steadfast love is the translation of the Hebrew word hesed. Its primary emphasis is on God's covenant love, his steadfast commitment to his people. All these qualities of character inform his deeds and give shape to his providential oversight of creation. So let's look briefly at what this great and majestic and good and righteous and gracious and merciful and long-suffering God does. Firstly, we see he works. In verses 4, 5, 6, 9, and 12. The psalmist says, One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. We also see he rules in verse 11 to 13. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. You see, unlike other rulers, presidents, and earthly monarchs, God is in the office for life. There is no transition team to move from one heavenly administration to another. There is no inaugural ceremonies where God has always been on the throne. There is no concern over the qualifications of a vice god should the Almighty be unable to serve out the full extent of his term. There are no tearful goodbyes to the staff, no waving, no so long from the steps of a helicopter, no gleaning out of the desk in the heavenly Oval Office to make way for his successor. Among earthly kings, especially in British history, we hear of James I and James II, and of Charles I and Charles II and Charles III. But this is not so in the heavenly kingdom. There is no Yahweh one and Yahweh two. For God is first and last, and there is no other. None ever preceded him, and no one can ever succeed him. We also see that God is the everlasting ruler, and he sustains all he has made. In verse 14 it says, "The Lord upholds all who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down." We should read this verse in connection with verse 13 and admire the unconnected contrast. He reigns in glorious majesty, yet condescends to lift up and hold up those who are apt to fall. He also supplies food and life in verse 15 and satisfies the desires of his creation, which we see in verse 16. He is altogether righteous in his dealings with us. We see that in verse 17. And of course, that's easy for us to believe when things are going well. But God is righteous in all his ways, not just in the circumstances that favor us. Nothing is more difficult to acknowledge when we are in trouble, or when he afflicts us, or when we feel that he has been unfair. We must never forget that he is not only righteous, but also kind in all his works. We see that in verse 17. We don't typically put these two words together, for it's difficult to be both at the same time. We swing to one or the other extreme and are either rigid and demanding or excessively lenient and tolerant. But in God, they find perfect harmony, as seen most readily in Jesus, who simultaneously high and humble, both strong and tender, righteous yet gracious, powerful and merciful, yet authoritative, yet tender, holy, yet always forgiving, just yet compassionate. At times angry, yet also gentle, and firm yet friendly. He finally answers prayer in verse 18 and 19. Preserves the righteous, verse 20, and destroys the wicked, in verse 20b. How does one respond to such a God? Needless to say, such splendor, majesty, mercy, and might call for the loudest and most compassionate of praise. We are to extol him, verse 1, which literally means to be high. God is high, and we acknowledge and declare it so. To extol is to exalt above all others, to set as preeminent over every other thing. We also bless, which we see in verse 1, 2, and 10, and praise, and commend, and declare, and meditate and speak, and pour forth praise of his abundant goodness. As if that weren't enough, we sing aloud and give thanks and make known his mighty deeds. And let's be diligent to do every day, forever and ever. A heart flooded with thoughts of the splendor of God and what he does can no more conceive of an end of praise than it can conceive of an end of God himself. So one final thought and I'll close. Above all, may our praise and honour and joyful celebration of this God be great. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. True worship must always be proportionate to the object of adoration. Great praise is for a great God. No chorus is too loud, no orchestra too large, no psalm too lofty for the lauding of the Lord of hosts. So let us read Psalm 145 together as a declaration of His majesty, of His splendor, of His greatness, of His goodness, His righteousness, His steadfast love, and His gracious works. Let us read it as a prayer of thanksgiving. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all the flesh shall bless his holy name, for ever and ever. Amen.